Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with spiritual self-examination.
2 Corinthians 13, chapter and verse 5, as we continue. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, and it reads, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Operative words, examine yourself. So the subject we continue to teach on is spiritual self-examination. And then based upon Matthew 7, 1 through 5, where Jesus says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with the same judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye." So we're talking about spiritual self-examination. And when we talk about self-examination, we're talking about a reflective examination, being introspective about yourself, about your beliefs, about your motives, about your habits, about your attitude, about your behavior. Do a self-examination for evidence of something being wrong. In the natural, when one examines himself, examine your body for evidence of disease, or to see if there's anything that's not normal or that's out of place or something that should be there that's not there. Sometimes, you know, and the reason why you got to do self-examination, because sometimes you can have something wrong that's not hurting you right now. Okay? You know, it's not causing any problem, but you realize it's not supposed to be there. And that's why we have to do self-examination. Again, by the time it starts hurting you or other people see it, sometimes it's way too far gone, and we could have dealt with it if we would just examine ourselves. So we said you need a mirror to examine yourself, and James 1, 23 through 25 tells us that the Word of God is the mirror, is the instrument by which we examine ourselves. We compare our lives, we compare our behavior, we compare our thoughts, we can compare our responses to the Word of God. We look at the Word and say, is this lining up with that? Is this contrary to that? Is this consistent with what the Word is telling me? You know, we were talking to our staff meeting yesterday about being congruent. Congruent means things lining up. Is your life congruent with the Word, or is something out of whack? It's something off balance. When it's congruent, then it's going together, matching up the way it should. So number one, we said examine your heart, because everything starts at the heart. That was based upon Matthew 12, 33 through 35. And then we also saw that Hebrews 4 and 12 says that the Word of God judges and discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. And then James 3, 14 through 16, it tells us, if you have envying and strife in your heart, don't you glory in that? Okay, don't you think that's a good thing? He said, lie not against the truth. He said, because where there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every good work. Secondly, we said you need to examine your mouth, because your mouth seals what you believe in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The way you got saved, you believed in your heart and you confess with your mouth. I heard someone teaching this morning, and it's a good time for me to say it, because you remember what you write. You remember also what you say. I heard someone say that your faith is voice activated. Your faith is voice activated. How much got Alexa? Okay. Nobody got Amazon Alexa in your house? All right. Some of us got Alexa. Okay. How many of you got Siri? And y'all talk to Siri on your phone? Okay. All those, they can tell you stuff. They can do things. They can respond. They can, and some of them even have all kinds of things that they have everything wired in the house. Turn on this light. Turn the temperature up or down. But it's voice activated. Your faith is voice activated. Not only is your faith voice activated, we discover that angels are voice activated. Because angels hearken to the voice of our word. Amen. They come, they move swiftly based upon what we say. So we said you got to be mindful of what you say. So you got to examine your mouth, what you're saying. Because a lot of times what you're having manifested in your life is based upon what you're saying. And what is not manifested in your life is based upon what you have said. So let's move on this week. Let me see here. Examine your pride or slash humility. Examine your pride and humility, because humility is the opposite of pride. Okay? Examine your pride. And I'm telling you why you got to do this real early. Because the prouder you get, or the more pride gets in you, the less you can see yourself. And the more pride you have, the less anybody can tell you anything. The more pride you have, the more you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. So you got to examine, you do a self-examination before you get a tumor of pride. Okay? Because by the time the tumor of pride has come, you don't even believe the tomb is there. Everybody lying. So you have to judge yourself in this area of pride. Pride, okay, I'm going to give you several things about pride. The first thing I want to say is that pride is thinking about yourself too highly than you ought to. Or let me put it this way. Pride is thinking too highly about yourself. Pride is thinking too high about yourself. Thinking too highly about yourself. Let's look at Romans 12 chapter and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. Paul writes to the church of Rome. He says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now, I got to stop right there, because he does not say that you should not think highly of yourself. Okay. Because we've been raised to sit with him in heavenly places. Amen. We are the head. We're not the tail. We are royal priesthood. We are holy nation. We are peculiar people. We are God's child. We are God's sons and daughters. Beloved, behold, now we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear, but we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Come on. It's good to feel good that God has saved you and you are a child of God. Your royal priesthood. He don't say that. Don't think highly of yourself. He says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. He said, you got to think soberly when you start thinking about yourself. You got to think soberly according as God have dealt to every man the measure of faith. I have a first cousin, one of my first cousins, who we don't talk very often. But that was his sister who passed away. That I got to have to do the funeral for on Saturday in New Jersey. And so I called him. I said, cousin, I said, I ain't talked to you. I said, just one call, see how you're doing. And he said, Herb. He said, wow. I said, I can't remember when the last time we talked. When we see each other, you know, is that family reunions? Is that the family funeral? He had one table, I'm at another. You know, we don't really talk. So I ended up talking to him for about 2 hours. And there is those who have gone through my school of ministry, I don't mention his name because I don't want to disparage him in this context that I'm using. But there was someone that Bishop Bailey came from under, and who was a noted man of God who had a great ministry back in the 60s and 70s. And I forgot that he worked for him. Okay. He was on his staff for 20 years. He was on his staff for 20 years. As a matter of fact, he was on his staff when he died. Okay. And so we got to talk about it. He said, Herb, he said, cousin, I really believe his main downfall was because he was so gifted and so anointed and had so many people back in the day, and was doing all the stuff that we do now that we think is such a big thing, you know, one church and multiple locations. He was doing this stuff back in the 60s. Packed out Madison Square Garden by himself back in the 60s and early 70s. And he said, the main thing I believe that led to his downfall, because he died at 57. Okay? After having this great ministry, he said, the main thing I believe was the problem was that he started taking God's glory. He said he let the people convince him that he was more than he was. He said, as a matter of fact, the person who served him, his primary armor bearer, who worked in his home and all, he said he wanted to write a book and people wouldn't let him, saying he's just a man. I said, well, first of all, let me talk about that. I said, every man of God is just a man. I said, we don't need to read a book to know somebody's just a man. You know, because he was talking about, because he was so gifted in the gifts of the Spirit and all that, you know, that people, you know, anything he said, people, he says, I'm just a man. Every man is just a man. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. He said, I remember when he would preach, and every time he preached, he said, Lord, I think of myself a little highly of this. He said, Lord, I'm just a worm. He said, and I need you to use me, and I can't do anything without you, and I need you to. He said he would pray that every time before he preached. He said, and then I remember when he stopped preaching that, when he stopped praying that. You know, because, you know, y'all know certain things I say all the time. If I don't say it for long, you'll probably go, okay, what's up with that? Okay. He said, I remember when he stopped praying that, and he stopped saying that. And he said, I remember he used to always pray, Lord, help me to never take your glory. Help me to never take your glory. He said, but I remember when he stopped praying that. He said, and the people's esteem of him, he said, I think caused him to get off in pride. Okay. And I told him, I said, you know, and some of you heard me say this. I said, one of the things that God gave me a word through a woman of God when we first started. That was 21, 22 years ago. We were probably a year old then. I haven't seen this woman probably since she was attending our church back in the day, Elder Perry. But she said to me, she had a foresight and by the Spirit of God into what God was going to do in my life and our ministry. And she came up to me. She said, Pastor Bailey, I hope you can receive a word that the Lord told me to give you. I said, okay. And y'all know, whenever somebody goes to give me a word, I always brace myself. And you got to do that. You're like, is this going to be a God or not going to be? Because every word everybody gives you, you got to judge it. Okay? So I braced myself. He said, can I give you this word the Lord told me to give you? He said, the Lord told me he's going to bless you. He's going to bless your ministry. He's going to bless your life greatly. Okay? That's a good word. We want to receive that, right? He said, but he also told me to tell you this. If you don't get moved by the praise, neither will you get moved by the criticism. Can I tell you, for 22 years since she gave me that word, that's always in the forefront of my mind. And I appreciate y'all loving me, and I appreciate y'all thinking, and all the nice accolades you give me, and I think it's nice to do that. You ought to esteem, you know, the Bible says, obey those who have the rule over you and esteem them for their work's sake. You know, those of us who are in spiritual authority, your mentors, your spiritual leaders, your pastors, you should esteem them and think highly of all that and say all kind of nice things. That's wonderful. But can I tell you, with everything that you say about me, I never let it go to my head. I'm very serious about that. Okay? Because at the end of the day, I know that everything I am is because of God. I'm not that smart. Okay. I'm cute, but I ain't the cutest. Okay. Nah, come on now. You got to think yourself more. Don't think yourself more highly. Didn't say don't think highly. Okay. No. There's people more educated than me. People that can preach better than me. You know, people that can minister better than me, people got better degrees than me, all that. At the end of the day, I recognize Paul says everything that I am, everything I have, I am by the grace of God. In more recent years, Not only have I learned to be humble about what God's done, I started to ask, the Lord started dealing with me about faith pride. Faith pride. See, because I come from a background where, look, now, I ain't heard nobody teach this. I ain't never heard anybody ever say this. I'm talking about how the Lord dealt with me. Faith pride. Faith pride is saying, I worked my faith. That's why I got this. I got this because I worked my faith. I learned the principle of my faith. I confessed the word. I stood on the word. I didn't waver on the promises. That's real good. And I'm telling you, when the Lord first dealt with me about that, I was listening to somebody preach, and he said, us blessed people, we know why we're blessed. And I said, amen. The Lord said, oh, you know why you're blessed, huh? I said, no, when the Lord started dealing with that, that means stop, pause, Selah. Think about what you just said. Say, oh, you know why you're blessed, huh? And when I had to, when I stopped and Selah'd that, pondered and thought about that, I start realizing there's some blessings I have. I don't know why I'm blessed. I don't know why I'm blessed. It's just the grace of God. It's the favor of God. Andre Crouch, the late great Andre Crouch, some of y'all know who he is, but wrote a song one time that said, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. And the truth of the matter, yes, we work our faith principle. Yes, we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart. Yes, we live holy. Yes, we tithe. Yes, we give. Yes, we sow. But there's some stuff that we're walking in. It wasn't because of anything we've done. It's just because of the grace of God. And I can't explain it. And I realize I'm not worthy of it. I realize it wasn't because, it wasn't because I was so smart, wasn't so good looking, wasn't because of my degree. I can't explain it. It's just all God. And if you would just keep that in mind, that you walk in blessings just many times because just God's God. He's just doing you a favor. He's just being gracious unto you. That'll cause you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You got to stay humble. If you want God to keep increasing you, don't ever start thinking it's because you're so anointed, you're so gifted. At the end of the day, everything you have operates because of him. The Bible says it's in him that we live, that we move, that we have our being. Look, okay. 1 Corinthians 7 chapter. I want to show you something here. I teach this in my school of ministry, but I haven't taught this in a while to people. Look at 1 Corinthians. Let me see. How many of y'all recognize, it ain't a trick question, it's going to sound like a trick question, that you got some kind of spiritual gift? Okay. Well, first of all, if it's a gift, that means what? It came from somebody. Okay. It was a gift. It had to be given to you. You didn't just develop it. Okay. Let me show you this. And sometimes the more gifted you are, the more you got to be deliberate about being humble. Because people will blow smoke in your face. Did I say that right? Did I say it right? Okay. People blow smoke in your face. And sometimes gifted people, boy, people are, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Whatever gift you have, it's God that's working in you. Y'all see that? Okay? But here's what I really want you to see. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, without me reading it all, he then goes on to list 9 gifts of the Spirit. Gifts, specific gifts that come as a result of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? And they come in 3 categories. There's the revelation gifts. Those gifts that reveal something. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning the spirits. Then there's the there's the utterance gifts, those that say something, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And then there's the power gifts, okay, those that do something, the gift of faith, gift of healing, and working of miracles, okay? But so he lists them, but what I want you to really see here is that he says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, I was real good in high school English, particularly, you know, diagramming sentences. You remember diagramming? Okay, we came up and you put the subject and you put the verb, then you put the object of the verb, and the adverb. Some of y'all forgot. Some say, well, I don't remember that. But I was real good at that. Okay, so that helps me to, knowing that, that helps me to understand and interpret scripture. I'll say, well, now what's the subject of this sentence? So when you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man a prophet all with all. What's the subject of that sentence? Talk to me. The manifestation. Manifestation is the subject of this sentence. Manifestation. Not the Spirit and not gift. Your gift is a manifestation of His Spirit. See, people getting pride. I got the gifter. I got the gifter. I got the gifter. I got the gift of prophecy. I got the gift for this. I got the gift for that. No, you don't have the gift. God uses you to manifest the gift. Okay, let me go deeper. Okay. Let me go deeper. The gift is not to you. The gift is to the church. The gift to the church. It ain't your gift. The gift belongs to the church. He uses you to manifest the gift. But watch this. The church will still have the gift without you. So if he can't use you to manifest the gift, he'll use somebody else to manifest the gift. Because you want the church to have that gift. What I want you to see here, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given, okay, to every man to profit with all or everybody. So God uses you and gives you a manifestation of a gift so other people can be benefited. The gift is not so you can get paid. When God gives you a spirit, when God uses you in a gift, it's not so you can get paid. So let me help y'all who follow all these prophets, okay, who give you all these words, and right after they give you the word, now everybody needs to give $1,000 because you just saw this gift. The gift is not so you can get paid and manipulate the gift and work people because you got the gift. The manifestation God, so I learned to say, you know, and every now and then I'll slip up because I don't have people traditionally say it. Sometimes I'll say it the way people traditionally say it, and then the Lord will correct me. You know, well, you know, I got the gift of the word of knowledge. I got the gift of prophecy. No, I don't. So you'll hear me say, so the Lord uses me in the gift of prophecy. He uses me in a manifestation of gifts of healing. The gift is to the church. You just a manifester. The gift is to the church. You're just an instrument that he wants to flow the gift through. Can I tell you, if you would keep that in mind, it'll keep you humble. As long as you start, I got this gift, I got that gift, I got that gift, I got that gift. So a lot of these gifted people say they're so gifted, you're really not gifted. God's using you to manifest. And can I tell you, and if you don't keep the right attitude, he won't manifest through you. So watch this. So here's the other thing you got to be careful about. Well, I'm sure if I had some folks here, they would really want to debate me on this here. You got to be careful about just going to meetings because we're going to have a prophetic meeting. God can decide that ain't what I want to do tonight. I want to manifest in some other way. Because the gift, okay, let's look at it again. Let's look at it. I got to see. Okay. Look at verse 11. All these work of that same self, same spirit, divide into every man severally as what? As he wills. Can I tell you, the gift operates as he wills, not as you will.
A medical exam does a complete scan of your body. When was the last time you did a self-exam? In this reflective series, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages us to look introspectively and examine any areas that may be causing a spiritual deficit in your life. Order today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for spiritual self-examination. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.